Pentecost and the rapture. How many churches are there? One. One church. And the way we talk about that is it's like a universal church. You are a part of Christ's body. The body of Christ. And so is Steve Poloni. And so is Martin Luther. And so is the Apostle Paul. And so is D.L. Moody. And so is Billy Graham. Every Christian, no matter, as long as you're between Pentecost and the rapture, all part of one body. It doesn't matter where you're from or what else has happened. God doesn't recognize denominations in his body. He doesn't do it. Like Presbyterian or Baptist or Methodists or Lutherans. God doesn't see those things. He sees, are you a Christian? Are you saved or are you lost? Are you a Christian or are you a part of the world? And it's important that we do the exact same thing. Which means when we meet somebody else and they say, well, you know, that's great. I heard you, I got that little gospel tract you passed out to me. I also believe in Jesus as my Savior. Well, then you don't say, well, are you a Methodist? Because if so, that means you're wrong. Or are you a Baptist? Because if so, that the important thing is, are you a part of the church or aren't you? Do you believe in Jesus or don't you? Christ is the only head. He is the president. He is the person who's over this whole organization or this whole organism. There's nobody higher than him. He is the one that's responsible. Now this is, a little bit of fancy words for you. I actually had never heard this truth before until I read our little Christian Foundation thing preparing for it. So this is neat. The Holy Spirit is the vicar of Christ in the church. Does anybody know? Well, the vicar is a representative. Or like vicarious means substitutionary. A vicar is somebody who's the substitute. So I just had never heard it put that way. A vicar, once again, is somebody who represents somebody. So it is so important that the Lord Jesus is here at this meeting for the church. I mean, he's in charge of it. How could he not be here? Well, he's in heaven. So what he's done is he sent the Holy Spirit who will represent him. And will speak on his authority and will speak for him. Now that's important because other churches, specifically like the Catholic Church, teach that the Pope is the vicar of Christ. That's the exact term that they use. And I like that no, a man is not the vicar of Christ, the Holy Spirit is the vicar of Christ. Operation of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the church. He leads worship. He inspires prayer. He empowers the preaching. He guides and directs. He raises up overseers or elders. He bestows spiritual gifts, and he reveals truth. Well, that's what we call the universal church. There's only one of those. But obviously, there are a lot of little different churches. And this is what we call the local church. The local church is to be a miniature of the universal church. Have you ever had like a model of a car that you put together? You know what I'm talking about? Like one of those things you get in a kit and you put it together and it's like about this big. You guys don't know what I'm talking about? Okay, that's a miniature of the whole big car. The idea is that it's supposed to look exactly like it, just really small. And in the same way, the local church is supposed to be like that model of the whole church. It's supposed to be like the whole giant church, just really small. Which means all the things that are true about the universal church, that it's like a body, that it's like a priesthood, that it's like a building, that it's like a bride, that it's like a flock of sheep. That's supposed to be true of the local church, it's just smaller. That's the idea. The simplest form of the local church. How small can a church be? How many people do you need to have a church? Go ahead. Millie, how many people do you think you need to have a church? Daniel, you want to help? Well, actually, you don't even need 10 or 13. Dion, how many do you need? What do you say? Any number of people. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we don't have too many people in this church, but we've got a lot more than two or three. And so the Lord Jesus promises that he'd be with us if we meet in his name. Okay. Well, let's move on. We're going to do one last thing so that way we can be done. I know that we're just a couple minutes over, but flip to the last, your last page here. And we'll spend about 5 minutes on this and then we'll close in prayer. Seven marks of a healthy assembly. Now, all churches, all assemblies are to be miniatures of the universal church. But sometimes they get sick. They get very sick and they don't do a very good job. But other churches are very healthy and they do a good job at doing that. So here are seven marks or distinguishing marks of a healthy assembly. Number one, it maintains a vigorous blank testimony. Does anybody know what that is? What's the main message the church should be preaching? What do we call that? I heard somebody say it. The gospel. So that's your blank. It maintains a vigorous gospel testimony. That's the church's message, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's why I like, you know what's great about Curtis Gospel Chapel? You come into this room and you have John 3:16 on that wall and you have John 5:24 on that wall. You walk into this place and you know right away that this is a place that puts an emphasis on the gospel. That's a great thing. That's a really great thing. Yes, it is. It practices believers and then a blank. Well, in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Lord Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age." So, Daniel, what do you think goes in the blank? Baptism, that's right. They should practice believers' baptism. You know, and that's important. So, once again, do you know why we baptize people at Curtis Gospel Chapel? It's because Jesus told us to. It's not like the leaders got together and said, "This is a neat thing we want people to do, and so we're going to force them to do it because we just came up with this idea." Well, the Bible, that's what our Lord told us to do, so we're going to do it. We're going to talk a lot about baptism and the next time we meet, so we'll move on. Number three, it receives those whom the Lord has received. That's actually, I think, word for word, Romans 15:7. Actually, Romans 15:7, this was a verse for Boys and Girls Club. Receive one another even as Christ has received us to the glory of God. It doesn't matter what you look like or what nationality you are or how much money you have. The church is supposed to receive those that the Lord has received. Okay, this one's a little bit harder to guess. Its members are in and practice. And in Acts 2:42, we read that the early church on Pentecost, when it started, that it continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, in prayers, and in fellowship. So the blank there is fellowship. Now we'll talk, what does that mean to practice fellowship? To be in fellowship and to practice fellowship. That's a whole sermon in and of itself. It is sound in its audio system. No, that's not what the blank is there. It is sound in, what is it? Sound in doctrine. Is that the, I think that's the blank. Or is it faith? It is sound in doctrine. Very good. It is sound in doctrine. Good job. Now, of course, there's limits to that. You can't say that if a church has one tiny little thing wrong, that means that it's no good. We all grow in things. But does the church understand the basics? That's very important. Does it teach true doctrine? Does the church, mark of a healthy assembly would be that it remembers the Lord by the breaking and partaking of the... of the what? The bread. Sorry, and the contents of the cup. That's right. The Lord's Supper or the Lord's Remembrance Feast. And you know, that's very, very important. We're going to, once again, spend a long time on that too. The importance to remember the Lord in the way that He wants us to. Lastly, does it continue in... I forgot what it was until you said it. That's right, it's prayer. Continues in prayer. And here, if you missed any of the blanks, here they are up here. Once again, remember they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in prayer. That's Acts 2:42. That would be a good one for us to memorize. I'll just say this in closing about continuing in prayer. One of my favorite meetings of the church is when we meet for prayer. Not when we just meet for Bible study, but when we set aside once a month for prayer. Personally, I'd like to meet all the time for prayer. That is, sometimes, I don't know about you, I'm just going to be honest with you. I hope I don't cross the line here, but sometimes I come to things and sometimes I think, well, you know, sometimes that was good, and sometimes I get discouraged, and sometimes it's just a matter of me being faithful that I come. But never have I been discouraged when I come to meet for prayer. Not once. Sometimes I come to Bible study and I say, well, we really got off topic. We started talking about all sorts of crazy things. I don't know. I think we got off track there. But I'm always, always blessed when we meet for prayer. It's so encouraging to hear other brothers and sisters, or specifically because it's a meeting of the church, to hear brothers lift the church up, lift up, to come right into the throne room of God and to talk to God and to lay all of our cares on Him. There's nothing like it. So a sound church is one that meets regularly for prayer. Having said that, let's close in prayer and we'll go downstairs and practice some fellowship. All right. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the time that we've had to study Your word, to learn about some of the privileges and responsibilities of being a Christian, and to learn about how it is that we can be a good church, one that You will be happy and pleased with. We ask that in all things, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be magnified, that He would be praised, that we would cause people to think about Him, both with our words and our works. And that He would get all the glory for the things that we do. And we know that the way we can do that is by following His commandments as they're set forth in Your word, the Bible. So we ask that You would give us a special blessing as we seek to do Your will. We also pray that You would bless our time of fellowship downstairs and bless the food as we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.